a roundup of the main business news from China and elsewhere. This is Global Business.
From CGTN headquarters in Beijing, this is Global Business. I'm Chen Yufeng. The headlines we're tracking at this hour. Strong rebound. China's manufacturing sector has experienced its most rapid expansion in 13 months, fueled by increased demand domestically and internationally. Tax benefits. In Shanghai, the free trade zone received a significant uplift as stamp tax exemptions stimulate offshore trade activities. And shining success. In today's Biz Focus, we explore how China's Hunan province has become a global production center of lab-grown diamonds. China's manufacturing sector experienced its most rapid expansion in over a year in March. That's driven by increased demand from domestic and overseas markets. The official PMI released by China's National Bureau of Statistics rose from 49.1 in February to 50.8 in March. That signals further positive momentum in the sector. The Caixing manufacturing PMI in March surged to 51.1, up from 50.9 in the previous months. That indicates expansion in the sector. The growth was supported by a significant increase in new orders from customers, leading to an 11-month high in business confidence. Additionally, input costs fell for the first time in 8 months, enabling Chinese manufacturers to lower selling prices. That's in a bid to drive sales. However, employment levels declined once again during the month. For more discussions on China's economic growth during the first 3 months of the year, I want to bring my guest, Jamil Ahmed, chief analyst of online trading brokerage GTC Group. Thanks for joining us, Jamil. What contributed to the strong first quarter economic performance in China? We've already got manufacturing data, industrial profits, trade, consumption. All these data surpass expectations.
That's completely correct. It might be Easter holidays and most Western markets might be closed today, but what we've seen already this morning is actually business is picking up and the heat is definitely picking up for the Chinese economy because you rightly pointed out industrial profits. We've also had very strong export data recently, retail sales, and now this morning we've had two different manufacturing readings, one for the domestic economy, one for the international economy, both signaling that the manufacturing industry is now expanding at its fastest pace in roughly 1 year. This is very strong signals when it comes to Chinese economic growth targets. And that's the biggest story at play here. The manufacturing sector is still a major component of the GDP.
Right.
The economic targets for 2024 do stand at 5%. But recently, the data does suggest that these economic targets will be hit and that the China economy is turning the corner for more stronger momentum over the course of 2024.
What does China's robust first quarter economic data mean for the economy for the entire year? And what implications does a stronger Chinese economy have for the global economy, Jamil?
So we look at this from two different sides of the coin. Firstly, China manufacturing sector is one of the major contributors of the Chinese economy, as we all know. But we also have to take into account that you need to have demand for Chinese goods and for those products, which does signal then that stronger economic demand globally is supporting China. But what I think is not universally accepted or acknowledged so much is that the world economy needs a stronger economy from China.
Mm.
Why is that the case? It's because if you look at all the different trading partners and economies around the world, they are very reliant on trade demand from China, not just for Chinese goods, actually for China to purchase their goods. So the economic relationship between China and its trading partners is completely different to those of the United States and its trading partners. So you look at factors like the US dollar, you look at the correlation between the US stock market and how that might be impacting economies. But in fact, that's traditional economics. The modern economics shows that actually there's no real tangible correlation between the economies of the world and how the US stock market is performing. But if you look at the Chinese economic data side, those are much more tangible and much more up to date with what the everyday person in the street will be feeling.
Right. Jamil, what are the driving forces behind the recent surge in gold prices? It's now at all-time highs.
Yes, we've had another all-time high early in the hours of Monday. This is not an April Fool's joke. The gold price is very much $2,265 US dollars. That's the most recent record highs. And in fact, if you look between the 1st of March and the 1st of April, we hit new all-time highs no less than six occasions. Essentially, this is driven by expectations of lower interest rates worldwide, that we're going to have a lower interest rate policy from the likes of the Fed, US Central Bank, the European Central Bank, the Bank of England, so far in 2024. And this has historically always been lower interest rates, good news for gold prospects. And that's what we're seeing bearing fruits. The other factor here is that physical demand for gold is at an all-time high as well. So I think that both those factors are combining together nicely to improve the investor sentiment for gold. And at the moment, there doesn't seem to be a ceiling in place.
Now let's talk about financial markets. We just wrapped up first quarter trading, and today is the first trading day for the second quarter. What factors are behind the positive momentum in world financial markets, particularly the S&P 500 and also China's market? Tell us about it.
Yeah, if we look at the S&P 500, that's the major United States stock market index. It just had its best quarter since 2019, and we hit new record closes on the S&P 500 no less than 20 occasions over Q1. Mm. And in fact, we had record highs. You look at Germany and the DAX, you look at Japan and the Nikkei, you look at other world stock markets as well, including the NASDAQ, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, all have hit new record highs. Essentially, lower interest rate policy is benefiting both gold and the stock markets when it comes to projections for this year. At the same point, there's a lot of hope that inflation pressures, which have obviously been the enemy of the world economies over the past 2 years, mm-hmm. that is starting to actually beat that battle. And lower inflation pressures are also supporting this interest rate environment, which gets lower. At the same point, economies have been able to handle high interest rates far better than anybody could have imagined. And this is beneficial for everybody. And in terms of the Chinese stock market, now that economic data is starting to pick up, there are reasons to be more beneficial that the Chinese stock market can also join this party later this year or so.
Yeah, the question is when and how much, right? Thank you.
Exactly.
Jamil Ahmed, join us from he's the chief analyst at GTC Group. Now, the new energy sector is one focus for China as it moves forward with its focus to develop new quality productive forces. In East China's Anhui province, new energy is increasingly used to power air conditioning. My colleague Wu Bing has more.
Many people nowadays just cannot live without air conditioners. A comfortable temperature often requires extra energy, especially in places with hot summers and cold winters, such as Anhui province. But the Earth can naturally balance the temperature, so it's possible to use Earth as a transfer station, absorbing heat during summer and releasing it in winter. This is what this energy station is working on, shallow geothermal energy.
Here we are at the heart of the energy station, about 9 meters underground, and you see those giant tubes around us. All the energies generated will be centered here and then transmitted to different locations around the city. You can consider this as a large air conditioning system, but underground.
The energy station is one of China's first regional green energy stations. Opened in 2019, owners of buildings covering about 3 million square meters have signed to use this new energy system for their air conditioning systems. The advantage, according to engineer Wang, is both low carbon emissions and high efficiency.
First one is that it does not burn coal or natural gas, which means there are no direct gas emissions. It's green and environmentally friendly. In addition, the efficiency is particularly high. It can produce 5 shares of heat by just consuming 1 share of electricity.
The company expects almost 170,000 tons of carbon emission will be reduced once all the signed area is using thermal energy. And for users, it saves money. We then went to the Anhui Art Museum, one of the key users of the energy station. Since it began using thermal energy around 2 years ago, it says it's reduced its energy consumption for air conditioning by about 20%.
500,000 yuan, about $69,000, saved on energy costs each year. At the same time, it saves on the maintenance fee of the equipment because there are less equipment needed.
The energy station is just one of Anhui's new energy map out. The province is also developing quickly in other renewable energy areas, including a photovoltaic generation system. Building photovoltaic and a new energy storage industry clusters is written into the province's government work report as a key task this year.
Our new energy industry has a very strong industrial foundation. The output of new energy vehicles in the province ranked fourth in the country, and the capacity of advanced photovoltaic and new energy storage has also jumped to the third in the country. Our growing industries need more energy, driving the need for new energy consumption.
Anhui Province is aiming for a 15% increase in revenue from advanced photovoltaic and new energy storage industries in 2024, continuing to maintain a leading position in the country. Wu Bin, CGTN, Hefei, Anhui Province.
Now, China has begun testing waters on stamp tax exemption on offshore trade in the Shanghai Pilot Free Trade Zone in a bid to boost development in the sector. The exemption policy announced by the Ministry of Finance and the State Taxation Administration in February begins today and runs until March 31st next year. The stamp tax exemption will benefit entities registered in the zone that conduct offshore trades. Offshore trade refers to goods resold from a non-resident purchaser to a non-resident buyer without the goods ever entering or leaving the country. Shanghai published a white paper on tax environment on Monday. The report says tax revenue in the city reached around 1.58 trillion yuan or $2.1 billion, an annual growth rate of about 3% over the past 5 years. The Shanghai Tax Bureau said it will continue to slash tax for local companies. For example, starting April 1st, that's today, Shanghai's free trade zone will scrap stamp duty on domestic trade. The Tax Bureau also launched a new tax service aimed specifically at science and technology firms today, aiming to reduce tax burden and making filing of taxes easier.
Our Shanghai Tax Bureau also launched a tax service for science and technology firms today, which goes to show that we will continue to serve technology firms and nurture new productive forces in order to achieve high-quality development of our country.
The 135th China Import and Export Fair, also known as Canton Fair, is set to welcome an unprecedented number of international buyers. This announcement was made during a press conference held by the Information Office of the State Council on Monday, with more than 28,000 domestic companies exhibiting their products in the export sector, including over 4,300 newcomers. The fair is poised for remarkable growth. Over 93,000 buyers from 215 countries and regions have already registered, with numbers continuing to rise. Among the attendees are global retail giants such as Walmart, Amazon, Carrefour and IKEA. The 15-day Canton Fair will be divided into three sessions, each focusing on different product categories. And additionally, officials have introduced various measures, including expedited visa application and payment services, to facilitate the visits of foreign buyers to China. Now, businesses in the Philippines are gearing up for the Canton Fair in Guangzhou next month. The Philippine Chamber of Commerce has encouraged participation at the event to boost trade ties and promote peace between the two countries. Gretchen Malalad reports from Manila.
It is Davos, China's number one trade fair. With over 10 million participants and $1.5 trillion of trade exchange since its inception in 1957. The 135th Canton Trade Fair is said to be the most comprehensive and one of the biggest trade events in the world. The Chinese Enterprise Philippine Association, or CEPA, organized a roadshow event to invite business leaders and enterprises to participate in the trade fair. CEPA announced that China's new quality product forces will take center stage. George Barcelon, the president of the Philippine Chamber of Commerce, says the Philippines has been actively participating in the China Import and Export Fair. This year, he hopes for a more profound partnership between the two nations.
We hope that our relationship with China is not only trade and commerce, but also on the side of the cultural side of things. And on the area of the high technology, mm-hmm. or even the agri sectors, I think China can be of a big help to us.
Dr. Cecilio Pedro, the president of the Filipino-Chinese Chamber of Commerce, emphasized the importance of participating in the event, which could be a way to simmer down geopolitical tensions in the South China Sea.
Our Philippine engagement in the Canton Fair underscores the enduring partnership between our two nations. Rooted in centuries of shared history and mutual prosperity, despite the complex geopolitical challenges of our time, I remain steadfast and hopeful in my conviction that the path to peace and prosperity lies in the steadfast economic cooperation between our two countries.
The Trade Ministry has encouraged business leaders and enterprises to participate. Undersecretary Seferino Rodolfo says last year's total bilateral trade value of $40 billion proves the growing economic relations of both nations.
The Canton Fair has proven to be an important avenue for us to showcase our products and services to the Chinese market and to also benchmark against the best of the best in the world and to also use it as a sourcing opportunity. I am certain that our engagement in this prestigious event will further improve trade and investment relations.
Business leaders from both nations believe that trade is a potent force for peace. This also echoes the agenda of the Bao Forum, which is open Tuesday in Hainan Province.
The Filipino-Chinese business community has pledged to join and support the Canton Trade Fair next month. They believe that despite geopolitical issues, a dynamic bilateral trade is a transformative way to achieve a peaceful and progressive future between China and the Philippines. Gretchen Malala, CGTN, Manila.
China is an opportunity for Europe rather than a risk, and a partner, not an opponent. That's a message from the top Chinese diplomat speaking to reporters today after meeting with his French counterpart Stéphane Séjourné in Beijing. Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi also reaffirmed China's determination to expand high-level opening up. He also said China and France have agreed to strengthen communication and coordination, as well as deepen exchanges and cooperation, as the two nations celebrate 60 years of diplomatic ties this year.
The world economy as we know it is about to change. Global business reports highlight emerging markets, developing countries, and dynamic sectors worldwide. We feature top analysts and newsmakers to provide perspectives on every facet of business. From an on-the-ground perspective, we provide you with balanced and objective assessments. Fast, sharp, and insightful. Global Business. Only on CGTN.
Thailand, one of Southeast Asia's biggest consumer markets, is prioritizing the development of electric vehicles industry. As Chowarat Yongjirannon reports, it's an opportunity being seized by Chinese EV manufacturers.
A flying car, luxury vehicles. This year's Bangkok International Motor Show is attracting plenty of participants. Attention is on Thailand's booming electrical vehicle market. Among the key players are leading Chinese EV brands, including BYD, Netta, and Great Wall Motors. Data from Electric Vehicle Association of Thailand shows EV sales in Thailand increased more than sixfold over a one-year period. Last year, more than 76,000 EVs were registered in Thailand, up from around 9,000 a year earlier. The global firm Counterpoint Research shows Thailand's market accounted for nearly 60% of reported EV sales in Southeast Asia in 2022.
I think first thing is Thailand have a very good habit or attitudes on the car using. So they do understand the cars. They know what they need, especially for the young people. They love new things. They try to experience the new things.
Chinese EV manufacturers say they're focused on meeting the diverse needs of Thai consumers.
The Chinese EVs are cute. There are a lot of functions. The starting price is quite affordable. The performance of the car is also good.
Thailand's government faces the challenge of providing infrastructure to support the EV industry. It's launched financial subsidies for manufacturers along with a reduction of excise tax, a move that's helping drive down the retail price of new energy vehicles.
This would be the first year that we see quite a number of the Chinese car companies to kick off the local production of electric vehicle in Thailand. So we have already some of the company like MG, Great Wall Motors, and soon BYD will also have the plant construction in Thailand to start off the local production of electric vehicle. So this basically paves the way for the future of electric vehicle as the production in Thailand.
Car makers believe Thailand could become a regional EV hub with localized manufacturing of EV components like batteries, electric motors, and battery management systems.
This year, Chinese EV companies are setting their goals to increase sales by up to 40%. Ambitious, right? Well, from the large turnout here at the motor show, it is clear that the hype for EVs in Thailand remains strong. Chao Ratyong Jiternon, CGTN, Bangkok, Thailand.
Here on BizTalk, we connect the dots, shedding light on the real stories behind the economic landscape. To better understand China's dynamism and the economies and rhythms of business, propelling new drivers of growth.
China.
BizTalk, your window into China and the global economy. Only on BizTalk.
Hunan has emerged as a significant player in the diamond industry, with data revealing that one out of every two diamonds in the world originates from this region. Through innovative technologies and techniques, the people of Hunan have effectively planted diamonds, propelling the area to become a leading global center for lab-grown diamonds in under a decade. Our reporter Xu Yi embarked on a journey to Hunan in search of a unique diamond that held a special significance for her. Her exploration uncovered the intriguing mystery and captivating story behind the cultivating of diamonds in this region.
I believe that not a young girl would say no to this shimmering jewelry. And I am not an exception.
Diamonds are a girl's best friend.
Although I may not currently need a diamond ring for marriage, I still hold a little dream of owning one of these gemstones, a sizable one, when I'm able to afford it. And now, there's a place in China where everyone can turn their diamond dreams into reality. That is Henan Province.
There are more and more manufacturers in Henan Province.
When you set foot in Henan, the spring scenes of lush green plains are the reminder of this province's rich agricultural heritage. But how is it possible for this place to plant diamonds? For synthetic diamonds, as I show you at the very beginning, are they actually the same as the natural one? I decided to start a journey in Henan to search for my diamond and some secrets. My first stop was a store of lab-grown diamonds in Nanyang City. However, I still desire a diamond that reflects my unique personality. And this store is owned by Zhongnan Diamond, a leading local producer of lab-grown diamonds in Henan Province. Curious to uncover the process behind creating these products, I followed Mrs. Zhang to their headquarters and factory located in a small county in Henan. Researchers told me that currently there are two primary methods globally to create lab-grown diamonds. The CVD method involves planting a diamond with a seed and is more commonly used in other countries. With the CVD method, it only takes about 1 to 2 weeks to obtain a 1-carat lab-grown diamond. On the other hand, the HPHT method is widely utilized by producers in China. About 50 to 60% of the world's lab-grown diamonds using HPHT are produced in China now.
And look at this. How could you imagine that this would turn into a sparkling diamond?
After this, we obtained rough diamonds, which serve as the starting point for our next crucial steps: designing, cutting, and polishing. The workers are carefully selecting the qualified rough diamonds based on color, granularity, and clarity for further design. After undergoing the processes of designing, cutting, and polishing, the lab-grown diamond can finally be transformed into high-quality jewelry. In 2022, Zhongnan Diamond produced over 7 billion carats of synthetic diamonds with a global market share of more than 46% to become one of the largest synthetic diamond producers in the world. I also received a certificate with the key grading aspects of my diamond, including carat weight, color, clarity, and cut. About this one, the color is about D grade, the highest level for diamond. And the International Gemological Institute, an organization based in Belgium, has made history by becoming the first laboratory in the world to receive ISO accreditation for lab-grown diamonds.
So essentially, they are the same. In fact, there are other materials, the synthetic ones in the market, so they are not diamonds at all. We want to educate the consumer. So the differences between natural diamonds, lab-grown diamonds, or monzonite, the other type of material, synthetic materials.
Originating in Henan, China's synthetic diamond industry has now blossomed across the country, making it the world's largest producer of diamonds with over 90% share of global production.
So why could Henan province become the world center of lab-grown diamonds? And this machine is one of the main reasons.
This is the Cubic HPHD pressing machine, which plays a key role in the magic of lab-grown diamonds. Developed by Zhengzhou Research Institute for Abrasives and Grinding Coordinated Limited in Henan province during the 1960s, it opened a new chapter for China's synthetic diamond industry. Another key factor contributing to the success of synthetic diamonds in Henan is the talented individuals. Lab-grown diamonds can fulfill more dreams. In fact, gem-quality lab-grown diamond is just one of the remarkable achievements from the Henan super hard materials industry.
Wow, look at this. This is actually my very first time to see this kind of diamonds.
Diamonds, often referred to as the industrial tube, along with other super hard materials, serve as the foundation in various sectors of industrial production. And in the future, lab-grown diamonds could shine various industries in the world in a big picture.
I strongly believe natural diamonds and lab-grown diamonds, they are not in direct competition in a way. So they occupy a different racetrack. Of course, lab-grown diamond being an ESG-friendly product, I believe it will be more environmentally friendly in the long run.
With upgraded technologies and people's efforts, a diamond now is more than forever. From eternity love to the hardest industrial production, diamond, this pretty little nature's gift, now has been endowed with the increasing power from human to shine the world and the future, and we could expect more.
We wrap up this edition of Global Business. I'm Zhu Jiping in Beijing. This edition continues with more news and views. Please stay with us.